Zooey doo. Shabba da 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 da. I've been listening to a lot of jazz of late. Can you hear the skibby doo bap bap? Anyway, okay. Can we record, please? Because, as per usual, I'm being threatened to be taken off the internet. My only ting ting, right? I just want this to be noted. We are going to, I think, episode. Yo, that very awkward moment where I actually don't know what number episode this is. Like, we are going to episode It's of Honor, right? We're going to episode 34, including the trailer. 35, not, or whatever, right? No, sorry. 34, including the trailer. 33, if not. And, like, I've created 33 episodes of me talking on the internet, right? And it's all because I've been threatened by that same internet. I'm just saying, guys, there's a magic here. It's the game we play. It's the dance we dance. Okay? Also, I want it noted, right? Yeah, this little pre-intro nonsense is a thing I'm doing now. That's not nonsense. I like it. Anyway, I've also just realized that, what was I going to say? I lost my own train of thought now. Yo, but I'm the driver. How did I lose my train of thought? Oh, yes, I'm back. So I'm like, I find it interesting that, no, it's gone. No, man. Oh my gosh, I hate it when that happens. Anyway, so train of thought is, it is what it is, okay? I was going to say something cool. It's gone now. So let's just start. Okay. Welcome to A Potential Podcast with Tracy Lee. This is episode 34, if you include the trailer, 33 if you do not. I was actually thinking about this the other day. This is also just a side note. That this podcast started as a review of other podcasts, and I haven't reviewed a podcast in Lord knows when. It's been forever and a day. But, yeah, hey, like, at this point, guys, the fact that I'm creating consistently within a series is big for all of us, so we should be very proud of me, okay? Because guess what? Today's episode is the next part of our Seven Deadly Sins series. Pum, pum, pum. I don't know why I said it like that, like the series has been like that tone. But I can't even remember what the tone is because I only post every 2 or so months. So, you know, I guess there is something to consistency. Anyway, so today's episode is about gluttony, y'all. I'm not going to lie and say I chose gluttony specifically as the next episode because I was specifically, I mean, I was inspired, but I don't think it, I was inspired for all the sins, gluttony, greed. I think actually, no, gluttony, greed, and sloth are easy to create for. There's just been a lot going on in life that has inspired me for those episodes. Wrath, on the other hand, I haven't really, like, thought about. I feel like that might be my last one. I don't know. We'll see. If life, you know, if I'm inspired, I might create one on wrath before the others. But today's episode, dearests, is on gluttony. By definition, gluttony is overindulgence. it's doing too much, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's having too much, it's consuming too much, it's overindulgence. It's more like, not even just more than you need, but it's like more than you need plus. That's what gluttony is, y'all. Like, that's the definition of gluttony. And I guess the angle I wanted to take on gluttony specifically was, let's talk about just how much how muchness there is in the world right now. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's a lot. I feel like it's interesting that we live in an age of overindulgence, and yet we are lacking in so much. And it's interesting, like, this is just something that came to me now, because I actually, there's research for this episode, guys. Like, I'm quite proud of how we did this. Okay, ChatGPT did a lot of it, but I structured the questions, okay? I did the prompts, all right? So I directed the conversation, okay? Thanks. But, like, I find it interesting that we are losing things that are, like, supposed to be naturally easy for us. Like, in a world where we have more than we need of things that should be more difficult to, I guess, acquire. That being said, like, I think I've mentioned this sometime in the podcast before, but, like, food, clothes, things that, like, should take a level of effort, like, resources, let me rather say, that should take a level of effort to gain, have been, like, easily provided to us. I feel like the only resource that has remained consistent through the years and has not changed how it behaves is time, because time is, it is what it is. You know what I'm saying? Time is time is time. Like, time can't be changed, it can't be tweaked, it can't be dealt with, type of vibe. And I guess you could say water, but even water, like, can be, you know, jiggy-jiggied a little bit. But time can't be, you can't remix time, dude. Time is time. A minute is a minute. Like, how you read a minute, how you use a minute is up to you, but a minute is a minute. We all together agree that 60 seconds is 60 seconds. You know what I'm saying? So, I just find it interesting that, like I said, there's resources that we used to, like, fight for and, like, I guess work a little harder for that we no longer do. And those things are, like, now convenient and easy. But in lieu of getting those things, we are lonely. We lack ability to interact. Social anxiety is, like, what, an all-time high. Like, we struggle to do things that should have been free and easy, or should be free and easy. Isn't that interesting? Anyway, so that might be the angle we're going on with this one. So what I did in terms of structure, because I want to give you guys a little bit of, like, a background on how I wanted to structure this, is I actually went into ChatGPT and I was like, okay, babes, right, I want to do gluttony, and there's a couple things I want us to address. I did want to speak to a little bit of the research, just simply because, like, my thoughts on these things is great, but if, like, we're not learning anything, what is the point? You're just listening to me waffle on. And also, if I'm honest, the other episodes have been a bit of a mess. Those have just been personal, addresses to me. Like, those have been diary entries, a little bit of vocal therapy. In this case, I actually just want us to talk about something. You know what I mean? So, this one's going to go a different direction, guys. I'm not just out here. I mean, I will speak to my own experiences of gluttony, but, like, I don't, it won't be the main thing. And if you've been listening, I'm so sorry that I've trauma dumped upon you. But you listened, so now what must happen? Anyway, okay. So, gluttony. How much is too much? So, I guess let's just talk to what I, as I said, I have been inspired of late to do an episode on gluttony, greed, and sloth, because these are things that I've actually, like, personally got stories and anecdotes about. Especially, I think, sloth and gluttony, I mean, those two go very easily together, just simply because of the fact that, sorry, I'm trying to find a position to record. I should be sitting up, but I'm also like, no, man, let's be comfy. Also, I got beanbags, guys. Oh, there's nothing more magical than a beanbag. The one downside of a beanbag, though, is unfortunately the minute you sit down on a beanbag, accept that that's where you live now. Like, just accept that's where you live now.
Because getting up from a beanbag, nigga, my word. I am, like, I don't feel old very often. But there are things that remind me I am in my 30s. There are things that are like, hey, girl, you grow. And getting up from a beanbag is one of them. Yo, like, I just sit there and I'm like, nope, I live here now. There was one day I think I just fell asleep because I just stopped trying to struggle. Like, I felt like, you know those beetles that fall on their backs? Like, and then, like, you just watch it trying to flip itself over. I felt like that. Like, I was just like, just accept defeat. You live here now. And I was like, if I really needed to get off, I would have to do, you know, that weird slide off thing where you actually have to crawl off of the thing and then, like, raise yourself up because of the fact that, like, just a simple stand-up is not going to cut it, my brother. Because that's like doing, like, a deep squat into standing. I'm not that fit. Eh. Anyway, sorry. Why? Okay. Guys, this is what happens. When you try and structure your freaking things, now look, I'm just talking nonsense, yeah. Anyway, it's not nonsense, I don't think it's nonsense, but you know what I mean. Okay, anyway, so my relationship with Glatini at the moment. I think one of the big things that has been happening with me, and I guess I could say is speaking to Glatini vibe, is I will say since arriving in Korea, one of the things that has given me a lot of comfort is food. I do see myself eating more. I think I've found comfort in, like, I think that dopamine release of eating, guys. Like, eating is nice. Food is nice. Like, and I think it's made me feel a lot better in spaces that I just wasn't aware. I think I just misconstrued a need for a dopamine hit as a hunger, I guess. So I do acknowledge that I have been doing some overeating in this country because I've looked at my body and I'm like, girl, you a little extra right now. What's going on over there? I'm like, mama's giving chunky. Looking good there, girls with the big old hoops. That song bangs, by the way. But yes, that's what's going on. So, yeah. That's one way. I don't think there's anything else I really have been, like, overindulging in. Oh, no, but I do love an online shop, hey, guys. But I haven't bought, like, a lot of stupid nonsense. I just think, like, if I want something, I get it. Like, I haven't been going through the think about it first. I'm like, no, if I want something, I get it. The only trick is because I live alone and I'm a grown-up, like, a lot of those spare of the moment, like, purchases are, like, things I use continuously, even post, you know, that, like, snap decision. Like, I will snap decision decide to buy bulk laundry detergent. Do you get me? Like, now I'll have laundry detergent. Like, there's, but do I need 4 bottles of laundry detergent? No, but it was on special, so I bought it. But I'm gonna have laundry detergent for the foreseeable future. I don't have to think about it. It's done. So that's another thing. Convenience. You get? But anyway, we'll get there. Anyway, so there's a couple of things we're going to address. I actually made ChatGPT do some research and find me some articles and stuff that I actually wanted to just, like, comment on. But there's a lot of things that we could speak to, especially in this day and age that we're in, that speak to, like, gluttony. Like, there's just, we have too muchness, guys. There's too muchness. Like, you can watch a whole show in one sitting. You can buy a whole wardrobe in one sitting. You can know everything you need to about the world in one. Like, it shouldn't, I don't think the world is supposed to, like, I don't think we're meant to have this muchness. TBH. And then something else that ChatGPT actually came up with, which is also quite interesting, is intellectual gluttony. Consuming information without applying it. Come on. Because also, that's the thing about gluttony, especially just from a food perspective, is the fact that the trick is, the reason overeating is so bad for you is because you never get around to actually using the energy you are consuming, which is why it turns into fat. Like, that's what it is, guys. Literally, you need to use the calories you consume. That's how it works. And if you don't use those calories, like, it just converts itself to fat. It turns into itself into a solid thing that shows that you ate, but you didn't use the energy that came from the eating. And I think it's the same with information. It's the same with information, I guess. It's the same, I guess, with the clothes and the shopping that we would do. It's the same with, I mean, doom scrolling technically falls into that same category as information. And so does, like, streaming binges and stuff like that, because that's also just information and stuff that you're just feeding yourself. The issue is the fact that in an effort to, like, just to be in that too muchness state, you don't have time to actually use even the little bit you actually needed in the first place, which is tricky. And then another thing as well is the fact that we've also, as a society, because of how much is going on in the world, run to, like, self-care as an excuse, where I deserve this thing. I deserve the haul. I deserve the binge. I deserve the doom scroll. So yeah, I did obviously just want to make sure that I mentioned that this is brought to you by my producer and research assistant, Chatty G. Shout out to Chatty G. Okay, so anyway, let's get into some of the research. So I asked ChatGPT, I'll tell you what my prompt was. So I literally asked ChatGPT to find me some recent studies on overconsumption of information and how it's affecting us, how having more options has been good or bad for us, and how convenience has helped or hurt us. And Chatty returned with the following. First study, so she went into studies and then we went into, like, then, you know, she hit me with some books. Yes, I've decided that ChatGPT is a female. All my technology, I think, is female, if I'm honest. But yeah, so information overload and academic performance. So she found a study of 320 Chinese university students that have social media fatigue and cognitive depletion. Come on, cognitive depletion. So the thing is, they're like, they know they're over-consuming. They know that it's all there, right? It isn't just mental noise, but it's also hurting them. And it's too much. They're distracted. And as a result, they want to do less. But then it's also, how do they do less? Which is also just screwing with them. So it's interesting that in their overwhelmedness, they're like, okay, I need to roll back on the social media or whatever. So then they're like, okay, cool, I need to roll back on the social media. But then in the efforts to roll back on the social media, that's another thing that's stressing them out. It's a whole thing, bruh. It's like a vicious cycle. Anyway, so that was an interesting one. But pretty much what it just rolls down to is the fact that it's information overload. And as a result, they're struggling to take in the information that's actually important. The next one was doom scrolling, news skimming, and fake news risk. Okay, so one of the things that has happened as a result of all of the information we're consuming and just how much access we have to all this information is, in our overwhelmedness of how much information is being thrown at us at any given point or that we are consuming, we are less discerning of what we are taking in. We are less research focused. We are less inclined to question what we are being shown. This I found interesting because I didn't think about it, but it's true. Like, on some, I don't know how much of the stuff I read on Instagram that I instantly, I'm like, yeah, that is so true. Do you get me? Like, I don't think about, wait, could that be true? Could that be a lie? Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't question it. And I think there's a questioning element that we're not doing. And I think maybe that is something that needs to be, I guess, addressed as well. And also, yeah, just the big risk of, as a result, it's easier to accept misinformation just simply because there's so much information being thrown at you that you don't have time to, like, double tap something and just go on the path to doing the research, because there's so many things you know about or so many things you're trying to find out about all at the exact same time. So that one was actually quite interesting to me. Oh yes, and then this also is another study, I guess, in China. So the other study, the one that I was just talking about, the misinformation one, yeah, that was just a study about how we have so much. So this one is, yeah, people trying to give up social media is actually giving them more anxiety because of the fact that in their efforts to give up, they're stressing themselves out because they're failing, and then that just adds another thing to stress them out. It's a vicious cycle. The information overload is just, it's making people panic. And then the next one, which I thought was interesting, this one was cool. It's over choice and decision fatigue. Okay, so the Women's Brain Health Initiative page says that there are too many options, too many choices, making decision making stressful, time consuming, and leads to poorer decisions. Now, this is interesting. Reason I thought this was one of the interesting points that I wanted to address specifically is because I've heard this quite a bit, especially from the online dating space, and like how the biggest issue with dating now is the fact that we have access to thousands of options, and as a result, because of all those options, you are overwhelmed and you never think you're making the right decision, right? And so actually the point I wrote down is too many options overwhelm and therefore leading to making poor decisions, which is interesting because in a quest to try and make the absolute best decision, we can never make the pressure in turn. Oh yeah, sorry. The best decision we can make, in turn, the pressure makes us make worse decisions. So in a quest to control every factor, we have less control over any particular factor. That right there is me. That's not ChatGPT, okay? I want that noted. But it's true. In our quest to have our hand over every part of the process, including finding love, we've lost control over the things we actually should be in control of. And also just like having all these options has now made you feel like, yo, what if I make the wrong decision? And now you have, instead of just having the three options that were your decision, that were your ability, that were the thing, you now have thousands of options. And all thousands of those options are saying hello, and you are telling yourself that one of those thousands could be my wife, husband, or whatever it is, and you're afraid of making the wrong decision, which in turn makes you make maybe not so great decisions. So found that interesting. Next study. So the next one was, because as I said, I asked a little bit about convenience as well. So convenience does come at a cost, right? The whole fact that it's easy to shop as quickly and as easily as we do is great, but short-term ease leads to long-term pain. Because the problem with convenience is exactly that, is it's too much, too easy. And it's given us, like, we've evolved to a place where we can actually exist where it's easy to live in, but we're not paying to make our lives difficult. Now we are paying to make our lives difficult, which is something I wrote down. And I'm like, that is actually very true. Like, we are, like, people are paying to exercise because we don't walk. And do you know what I mean? Like, we now have to make an effort to do the things that make life, I don't want to say difficult, but make life difficult enough for us to be healthy and survive. it's curious to me. I mean, so the thing that popped into my head during all of this was, I was thinking about this thing we have. I don't know where you're listening from, but I'm assuming all the people who listen to this are from South Africa, because I just talk. But there's this gym. It's called Sweat 1000. Sweat 1000 is probably the most intense workout I've heard. I've never been, because you'll understand why I've never been. But Sweat 1000 is very intense. Like, they have classes where pretty much you work out until you cotch, dude. Like, literally, like, you work out until your body is at accepts defeat type vibe. So, like, it's supposed to be very transformative and very good for you, because, like, you just get, like, a very hectic, intense training vibe, like, very high intensity. I think it's that heat situation. Like, it's intense heat. And I'm just like, someone pays for someone to torture them for an hour and a half, 2 hours a week, because they can't take a walk every day. You dig? Like, something needs to make us ask ourselves, does this make sense? You know? Anyway, so that was just something that struck me, is I'm like, convenience has made our lives less convenient in other ways. Like, you know, you gotta pay. There's no free lunch, guys. And then also there is information overload in health. So another thing is, obviously, having so much information in our brains leads to just reality being distorted, that there's a lot going on in our brains, a lot more than there needs to be. Also, I learned this word during the course of all of this. They call it cyberchondria. Yeah? Yeah? Cyberchondria is literally, like, it's... So, but cyberchondria is, like, it's... Because you have so much access to various illnesses and the information about these illnesses, apparently you make yourself sick. So then I'm also, like, this is something that actually just struck me, right? Is I'm like, oh, yes, and this brings in the thing I wanted to just speak about. This is me talking here. Is I've thought about this of late, where I'm like, everybody has either anxiety, ADHD, depression, or any of the mental health issues. I'm not, like I said, I'm not downplaying this. I'm just, it's a query. And come with me on the journey, right? Everybody has these things now. And I was asking myself, I'm like, is it that we are all sicker as a result of being aware? Like, do you get what I mean? Like, is it that the world as it is has made us sicker? Is it that the world as it is has just made us acknowledge that we were sick in the first place? Or is it that we are not sick, we just are now surrounded by others who are sick, so as a result we also feel like we need to connect and also feel sick? And then the conclusion that little rabbit hole of a thought sent me was, maybe it's both, and maybe it's all of them. And I guess it boils down, maybe my question boils down to, has knowing done us any good? And I'm talking about in a bigger context. Obviously, knowing if your child has ADHD or not is important. Knowing that you have ADHD or not is important. But could one argue, devil's advocating this thing, could one argue that there is a certain je ne sais quoi to ignorance? Yes, guys. Is knowing better? I don't know, if I'm honest. Oh, and then another thing that we're also not thinking about is the fact that digital overconsumption, things like generative AI, the irony is not lost upon me that I am using AI for this, but like, generative AI and all of this does come at a price. Like, all this access to information and everything that we are doing, it's not just like, you know, it's not just there. Like, things have to happen for this to happen. Like, case in point, the fact that, like, us having access to this much information this quickly has led to the fact that you need to realize how much water, etc., it takes to deal with your prompts. Like, I was just like, what do you mean? Because they have to cool the servers and it's a whole thing. And I'm like, nigga, what? But also, another interesting thing, right, is finding out that you need, when you are talking to your AI, please do not waste prompts. Don't say thank you. If you say please, it's fine, but say please with an instruction. Don't just say please. You know what I'm saying? Don't say thank you after request. Say thank you. Here, na, 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 na is the next thing. Or just don't say thank you. I think we're all just afraid that the AI is going to get very smart and then attack us. So that's why we're polite, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, so that's another thing. Cool. So then I actually decided to go down another little bit of a rabbit hole. Well, not really go down another little bit of a rabbit hole. But I asked Chatty to also look at some books that have been written about the topic. Two of which that came up was The Organized Mind, Thinking Straight in the Age of Information Overload by Daniel J. Levitin. Levitin. Whatever. Anyway, so he speaks to how attention, memory, and decision-making work under informational pressure. The book comes in three parts. It's pretty much focuses on attention and the fact that attention is like our most valuable resource, because obviously attention is what is required to do, well, anything, really. And how we need to make sure that we are managing our attention and where we are using it and how we are using it. Also, he actually speaks about the fact that the phrase paying attention is so relevant and so true. You are paying in attention. I think you're paying in attention in time. I would add time to that personally. But yeah, you need to think about the fact that you are paying attention to something. You are literally taking something of value and using it in exchange for information you are given. You have to now ask yourself, is the payment worth the product? You know what I'm saying? Like, you're paying for this thing. Is it worth it? And that is something I feel like we need to just address on our own. Also, things like multitasking, he's like, this is the reason why multitasking, like, because, you know, a lot of people have just actually said that, like, multitasking actually isn't very good because you don't do the best at any of the specific tasks because you're trying to do too much at the same time. So he's like, and also multitasking takes actual energy. Like, it drains you, because moving back and forth and trying to switch, it actually literally screws with your metabolic stuff. Okay, he literally says it has an actual metabolic cost, and I'm like, damn, deep. Because you're taking so much energy, and as a result, it also leads to mental exhaustion. So yes, as much as people have said, guys, multitasking is bad because you don't do anything well, it actually is bad for you. Do one thing, do it well, get it done. And then, yeah, in the other parts of the books, he's just talking about how we need to try and use our attention and memory systems for, like, just better organization, for getting our stuff, like, getting ourselves in order, as opposed to using it and paying to be distracted, pretty much. And then the other book that came up was Too Much to Know, Managing Scholarly Information Before the Modern Age. So the reason I thought this book was interesting is this writer, Anne M. Blair, wrote about the fact that the information overload thing is not new. In the ancient medieval Islamic and Chinese cultures, especially early modern Europe, we're already complaining about there being too many books, too much text, and not enough time. And the invention of the printing press made it worse. So it just goes to show that information overload is not new. information gluttony is not new. It is just, it's taken a different form. And I think probably we've just supercharged it, like hit it with like a super size me type of vibe. But what those past scholars did, which is a little bit different to us, is they indexed, they summarized, they encyclopedized, and all of those things, right? So I'm like, then that led me to the question that ChatGPT is like the ultimate of this, right? So why are we still suffering from overexposure? Because ChatGPT is exactly that. Like, it gives you the information you asked for directly. Like, you're not getting everything. You're getting exactly what you asked for. Case in point, how this research was done. But then why am I still feeling, you know? Or is it maybe that the method in which we are being exposed is the problem? Because, like, because it's not books and it's a computer. Like, I don't know. Anyway, there was a thing there. And then also, so yeah, that's the little bit of the research that I read into. I had to obviously try and, you know, learn us something. But honestly, guys, the big thing that I've just realized is I'm like, overindulgence, I think there's a point where, like, you get what you need, and then, like, oh, sorry. There's a point where you get what you need, and then you want more. And I think you might just be seeking for a moment to not end. I don't know. There's something there, and I'm sure when I put in my final thoughts, we'll address it, because, as I said, we are thinking through this together, my friends. Anyway, okay. So another point I mentioned in my notes was I just watched a Netflix documentary on waste. It's called Buy Now, The Shopping Conspiracy. Oh, yes. And this is about how our overconsumption is causing real issues in the world. Like, this is not an information. This is just overconsumption of just goods. And the thing that really stuck with me was someone said in the documentary, where we keep thinking about the fact that we throw things away, and there is no away. The world is finite. Space is finite. We are going to really start seeing the effects of our waste soon, if we haven't already. And I was like, hot damn. But it's because of the fact that we're consuming way more than we need to. We need to buy less. We need to stop consuming as much. Like, I can say all of these things, obviously, guys. This all comes from a moral standing perspective. But I am also the girl that is looking around and seeing all of her Shein purchases that make her very happy. So something needs to probably be addressed there. Anyway, side note. Oh, yes, I had a side note. I think a lot about how we don't acknowledge how much radiation and toxic waves are affecting our children. So, oh, yes. So this was because I was thinking about the... Trevor Noah has an episode on ADHD with Dr. Kristen Carruthers, and she speaks to the fact that we are all more exposed to things that are affecting the kids we are having. Going back to my question is... like, because, like, yes, we're more exposed to technology, we're more exposed to radiation, we're more exposed to just all of it, right? And I guess maybe this also goes back to addressing the question I had, where I'm like, are we sicker? Are we just now aware? So we're the same sick, just aware of it? Or are we not actually sick and we just think we are, you know? So this, I guess, helps address a little bit of that. I think it still speaks to the both and vibes of it all. Like, I think all three of those truths are true. But yeah. So something interesting that I decided to do in this process was I asked ChatGPT to write me a listener letter in defense of gluttony. And I asked her, because Chatty is a girl, I asked her to write me this letter from the perspective of someone who is my opposite. I guess this opposite could be, I was just going to say, like, I actually said white male, because I feel like that is the furthest on the other end of, I guess, this race spectrum, if you want to call it that. let's not think about that too deeply, okay? I just chose it, all right? Because a lot of people would be like, yeah, but what makes you this picture? Let's not do that, okay? I chose white male. If you get it, you get it. If you don't, you don't. That's why I chose it. Okay, so let's listen to what Chatty, posing as, what is his name? His name is Matt. He is 34, and he's from Portland, Oregon, I think. It just says Portland. I don't know if that's in Oregon. I'm not American. Anyway, okay, so here's the letter. Hey there. I've been listening to your series on the 7 deadly sins, and I've got to be honest. I think gluttony gets a bad rap. Maybe it's just me, but as a 34-year-old guy navigating the world that's constantly telling me to do more with less, I've come to see gluttony as a kind of survival skill. Think about it. Life is stressful, unpredictable, and sometimes downright miserable. When I binge a Netflix show, order Uber Eats 3 nights in a row, or scroll TikTok until 2 a.m., it's not me being weak. It's me finding comfort. It's me saying, screw it, I deserve to feel good right now. Isn't that self-care in its own way? Everyone talks about moderation, like it's the holy grail, but moderation feels overrated. Some of the best things in life happen when we go all in. No one writes songs about salads. They write songs about champagne nights, all-you-can-eat buffets, and passion you can't contain. Gluttony, in a way, is how we taste life fully. And let's be real, convenience culture is amazing. I don't want to churn butter or spend 3 hours cooking when I could be gaming with my friends. If an app brings me tacos in 20 minutes, why not celebrate that? Isn't technology supposed to make life easier, not harder? So maybe gluttony isn't about excess ruining us. Maybe it's about embracing abundance in the world that constantly asks us to shrink ourselves. If I overindulge sometimes, whether that's food, media, or comfort, it just means I'm living in the moment. And honestly, I think the world could use a little more of that. Signed, Matt. Now look, never challenged ChatGPT to write like a human being because I was like, damn. He makes points. Some of it was a little bit like, but he makes points. Like, he makes points. Especially the, we don't write songs about salads. I think there is some real thoughts to be had about, like, will we adapt? I think that's the problem, is we're not adapting as quickly as we are consuming. And maybe we will eventually adapt. Maybe we're panicking for nothing. We'll eventually get to a place where we're used to too much, too muchness. I think we've already gotten to that place because, like, there's a lot of stuff that, like, was too muchness before. You know? Like, maybe we are adapting. I haven't actually done the research on that. That thought just occurred to me now. But, like, there is good to the convenience of all of these things. There is bad to it. I, personally, as a person, like, it is more convenient for me to go shopping online on Shein. And that also has its own, you know, various issues on Shein. Simply because of the fact that, like, finding my size and clothes that are within my budget in this country is a mission. I can have it delivered to my house. I can have the wardrobe I want exactly how I want it delivered to my house. In my size. Heavenly Father. So, like, you know, I don't know. Matt makes points. You know what I'm saying? He makes points. And he's right. Technology is there to make our lives easier. Yeah. I like that point. Maybe it's about embracing abundance in the world that is constantly asking us to shrink ourselves. Oof. Damn. Guys, never challenge ChatGPT to write like a human being. It's a little scary. But yeah. Anyway, so friends, colleagues, people, this was obviously my effort to do a little bit of a researched episode. You know what I'm saying? Do a little bit of a episode that speaks to some things. I guess the only thing we really can do is just try our best to do our best. Be, I guess, more intentional I think that's the one thing that everybody agrees on, is there's nothing you can do about how muchness is available. But the one thing you can do is, yes, you can try and moderate. But I think also maybe choose a little bit, like be a little bit more choosy. I don't even think it's necessarily moderation, because the thing about moderation is it's you saying, this is a thing, it's a thing I want, it's a thing I like, and I don't want. No, I think maybe it's more about intentionality. Like, it's taking the extra 2 seconds to think about it, whatever it is. Do you know what I mean? I think that would be my personal solve for the situation. Like, take the second and think about it. Like, there's this hat. Ugh, I'm actually very upset I didn't get it. There's this hat they were selling at the convenience store up the road from me. It was so pretty. And I wanted it. I wanted it so bad. And I was like, Tracy, you can't just buy a hat because you just want it. And guys, when I say I've been thinking about this hat for 2 months. And it was sold. And I went there today and I was like, buy that hat. And I went and it wasn't there. And I was bummed. Oh, I was upset. But then I was like, I guess I wasn't meant to have the hat. You know what? No one died. But it's just, you know what I mean? Like, it was just a moment that I was having. And I took a second. I thought about it. And I still wanted it. Did you get me? So I do think that things you are meant to have, things that you are meant, like, that you really, truly want and deserve, and if you can afford or whatever it is, get it, dude. I just think take a second. That's my suggestion. Because this thing of trying to, like, do less nice things, it's shaky. I say this because of the fact that I'm also speaking to myself here, where I'm just like, dude, people telling me just, like eat less, nigga. No. I think the best decision would be to tell me, think about how much you need to eat. Do you get me? Where it feels more like we're getting ahead of things as opposed to, you know, I don't know. Just intentionality, applying a little bit more thought. And I feel like that can apply to everything. It can apply to shopping. It can apply to information consumption. It can apply to consumption, like food consumption. It can apply to everything. Just be intentional. Think about it for a second. Make the decision with all of your brain. Because I think another thing as well is, because we are not, like, we are applying our brains, but we're not exercising them. Do you get me? Like, I feel like we're just throwing things at our brains and seeing what sticks, as opposed to exercising our brains. Like, being like, okay, cool, here's all the information. What am I going to do with it? You know? And pretty much this is the solutions that all of these writers have, is they just say, look, guys, just get into the process of sorting your stuff out. If you have the information, sort it out. If you have if you keep collecting this information, index it, put it into spaces, use the information before collecting more. If you're eating, like, think about how much you need to eat before entering a meal situation. Walking in with a little bit more intentionality might help make better decisions during the course of the meal. You know, but with anything good that we can overindulge in, you always just have to walk in with an intention. Okay, so yeah, guys, that's gluttony, man. Addressed. My final thoughts. With all that is available to us, how do we decide what is important, what is and isn't relevant? It's not that far ahead. Maybe the key is knowing that it all isn't relevant in the first place. So the question I was raising there in a very complicated way, I love that I try and read my final thoughts like it's going to make sense, but pretty much what I was trying to say is, I'm saying be intentional and think about it and decide and all of that stuff. But the thing is, maybe to help you with that is to start by remembering that everything isn't for everyone. Okay? Like, you're not meant to experience every single thing. You're not meant to see every single thing. You're not meant to date every single person. You're not meant to experience, eat every single food. You're not meant to be every single person in every single situation. There are things you have to miss. There are things that are meant to pass you by. And everything is not for everybody. So if you walk into every situation knowing that, it might help. I think. These are my thoughts. These are not ChatGPT. These are not typed. This is me just taking all of this, synthesizing it, and coming to a sort of something. And I'm like, I've had to also come to the reality that everything isn't for me. I'm not meant to experience everything. Everything isn't necessarily my calling, my space, my what. So, yes, guys. Yeah. At the end of the day, I do think you have to accept that you're not always going to be doing the best, most ultimate, amazing thing you could be doing at any given point. And that's okay. Things are meant to pass you by. And that's okay. Not everything is meant to be experienced by you. And that's okay. Like, not everything is for you. And that's okay. And if you do want to roll back, maybe think about it before even starting the process of the consumption. That's my suggestion. Those are my thoughts. Anyway. Yeah, man, that's me. This was a journey. Strange, but hey, we did a thinky version of one of these before, so this little confusing what I've just done isn't too far off from what we've been doing. Yeah, guys, thank you for listening, man. Like, the fact that you are listening to this just gives me very much happiness in my heart. This has been a potential podcast with Tracy Lee. I pray this podcast and I live up to our full potential. Okay, love you. Bye.